The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Tomorrow, so the Rams for me, Chris.
Another Georgia connection, shocker. All right, I'm going with the Rams, too. More talented football team, played good football in December, have been playing great football in January.
And if you win, you'll be above 500 in your picks.
Thank you.
Need
it. Come on, Rams.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's right. I'm above 500, and I'm still winning.
Barely.
Look who's here.
Hey!
Look who's here.
It took an entire season for you to actually invite me onto the show, but thank you.
Well, like, first off, bullshit.
Sheesh.
On your bullshit, okay?
No,
all right, and
I've
everybody,
been begging.
Hello, this is Chris Sims Unbuttoned, and this is Maria Taylor.
What's
She's
up, guys?
Here. Hello, yes, in case you're listening and you can't see us. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, can we start with the fact that you should have opened it with Maria Taylor, brand new haircut, new look, kudos.
I was literally about to go there.
Were you?
So this is good.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Okay, because I was going to go like, listen, I know I'm your idol and everything, okay? But you didn't have to, like, try to emulate
it
my hair, okay? And, like, the girl version, okay?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, so what'd you do? Did you bring a picture to me? And like, this guy's really cool.
I did.
And you're just like, make me look somewhat cool like that?
Yeah. My hairstylist's name is Razor Chick.
Right.
So I literally went to Razor Chick and I was like, this is my best friend on the show.
Right.
Can I please look more like him so when we're standing next to each other, people get confused? And
she's
like, done. Done,
so
done,
Razor
done.
Chick, that's her name.
Razor Chick, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Maria's awesome. We had a great year working together for everybody out there. And it's always an event working with Maria, no matter what it is. I mean, you know, today she was doing voiceovers.
Yep.
She was a little late to this, you know, Razor Chick,
late.
her own wardrobe people.
I had
makeup
to change
people.
Wardrobe today.
I see.
We had a lot going on, but the good news is Chris did his own makeup.
Thank you for exposing me there.
I also want you to tell the people who won the overall picks for football night.
The overall picks for football night? It wasn't you, was it? I mean, it couldn't have been you.
Yes, it was me.
You won overall picks?
And guess who was last?
Me. Thank you. You won picks?
I did.
Are you sure about that?
I'm 1,000% 17 and 6.
17 and 6.
I crushed them.
Wow.
The fact that there's no trophy or anything, like,
no.
I shouldn't even compete next year.
No.
Well,
No. And yes, I mean, I won the first year I was on. They didn't give me crap.
Uh-huh.
So you're not getting
and
crap.
And honestly,
either.
That's not documented, so I don't know that really happened.
Yeah. No, well, it did. It was documented. It was on TV. Okay. It did. It did happen. You weren't here, but NBC did exist before
here.
You got here. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, and damn it, you took me off. I was going to say something else about you.
Yeah,
and
then I just told you
you
were a
loser. Embarrassing, and you took me off track, and I can't remember what the hell it is now.
That's pretty much what I do on the show, too.
All right, so we got a good podcast today.
Okay.
All right, we're going to hit on a lot of breaking news. Mm-hmm. We know that, the quarterback stuff, some AMAs from everybody, you know, the homies, the listeners, everybody mm-hmm. out there. We'll hit on some free agency news. We're just going to talk ball.
Love
You're going to lead the charge from
mm-hmm.
here on out,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Okay, I'm
and
good
eventually,
with that.
The story I was going to tell is going to pop back into
okay.
my head, and
right.
I cannot freaking remember what it was.
I love that you lost it. It's
I
because,
did. I'm flustered.
Yeah, you're flustered, because you lost everything.
That was the first time I'm hosting my own podcast with somebody that's got a bigger mouth than me.
And quite honestly, I'm the host of the podcast now.
Yeah, you are.
I was trying to get them to change it to Maria Taylor with buttons, but then it didn't work out, so it's okay.
17 and 6. What a bunch of bullshit that is, right?
Okay, can we start our conversation
yeah.
then?
Where do you want to go?
I want to start with Carson Wentz.
Okay.
Okay. Is it a better decision to have him as your starting quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because we were loving a little bit of Fitzmagic.
I get it. Fitzmagic's mm-hmm. fun. I mean, he's polarizing. But yes, no doubt. Let's just end that conversation
Done.
Right now.
Okay.
Right.
You're deading it.
Yes. I mean, again, I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's certainly got some, you know, guts and you know, been there, done that as mm-hmm. far as battle tested. Carson Wentz, though, you know, again, there's issues. I mm-hmm. understand that. But I think to compare him to somebody like Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't even think that's fair to Carson Wentz.
I don't.
I look at Carson Wentz as, yes, I know there's issues. You know, he obviously has issues relating to people, talking to people, being a leader. It's the second time we're hearing that. Colts, Eagles. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to a third team. So there's that. You know, the play on the field is better than what people give him credit for. Yeah. I will say that as well. And again, he's shown snippets of being like he's shown snippets of being a star at times. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go back to his second year when they win the Super Bowl. He's going to be the MVP of the NFL. 2019, the playoff run with a bunch of no names on offense. He carried the squad. So he's shown the ability to play at an elite level. It's just in between can be like a lot of, whoa, that's some dumb crap, and what are you doing there? And then you couple that with some of the off-the-field stuff, and that's where he's become a little bit of a polarizing, you know, subject. I'll go this far, mm-hmm. right? You asked me about Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
I'd double down and go, I mean, if you gave me a choice, Carson Wentz or Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going Carson Wentz. I am.
You know, why?
Well, again, more talent, right? Carson Wentz, we make fun of him because, oh, man, he does make some dumb interceptions. Jimmy Garoppolo is like, he's one of
the
poster child
interceptions, too.
Right? Exactly. Yes, the they both have the issue of like timing of like the biggest moments. We like to do the dumbest shit,
right?
And that to me too. So yes, I'm for a team like Washington with they're on the cusp of being a real playoff contender and a pain in the butt in the NFC conversation. They were desperate for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think they realized, wait, Fitzpatrick up there in age, just had a serious injury last year. There's really no future. We know what he is. Taylor Heinicke, yeah, there were some fun plays we talked about during the year. But there was too many, like, also plays that you look at and go, wait, a consistent quarterback or a good quarterback in the NFL should make this play every time. And that wasn't always made with Taylor Heinicke. And I think that's why they were looking for the upgrade. And, yeah, with Wilson and Rodgers gone, this was the next best option.
I feel like for Carson Wentz, though, don't you have to have a galvanizing figure in your locker room? Like, shouldn't that be – if you're not going to be completely consistent, if there's going to be some inconsistencies, then one of your superpowers should probably be that.
Yeah, being able to communicate and do that. Yeah, you're right.
If you're going to be digging holes, having to get out of them, bring your team back, there's got to be a lot of belief in you.
I would agree with that. There has to be that. That's what you always want from a franchise. That's what a good franchise quarterback does. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, wait, we're hurt this week. Oh, we're not playing our best. Oh, wait, we got that guy at quarterback. He'll help us out and make it happen. Yeah, Wentz, there's those questions, certainly. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think he was even with the Colts. It says it all. I mean, Frank Reich was still, I think, willing to stick his neck out there and go with Carson Wentz. But the owner had seen enough. And I think Chris Ballard had seen enough, too, let alone whether it was the not getting vaccinated, you know, the poor play to start the year, and then the end of the year, missing a whole week of practice because you're not vaccinated, and then playing like shit in the last two games of the year, that's not going to win over a fan base. Uh-huh. And that's why, hey, it's dicey for Washington. But they were desperate. Yeah. You know, but they're certainly in danger of, like, if he doesn't play well, everyone going, well, he's Carson Wentz. What did you expect? And that's, you know, the risk they're taking.
That was like your voice that you did. That's your voice in the screen. Well, what did you expect?
What did you expect?
Okay, I need to know where you were when you found out that Russell Wilson was heading to the Broncos. Like, you dropped everything. What were you doing? Were you with the family? Were you with the kids? Were you on a show?
I'd already done the show. It was that was Monday, right? What the hell day was
the
that?
9th.
That was Tuesday. Right, Tuesday morning, right? So Tuesday morning, of course, the Rodgers news had just come out.
True.
So I was literally kind of texting. I was sitting at my kitchen table. Mm-hmm. I was eating a little breakfast. I was reading football news. I was getting ready to dive
drinking
into
bougie coffee.
My bougie coffee. You know that. Exactly right. And I was trying to like sit there and just read football news. I was about to dive into some draft stuff and watch some film. And all of a sudden, I got text like, boom, Russell to Denver. And I was like, wow. I mean,
kind of new.
Mm-hmm. Knew it was on the radar. I've been trying to yell at everybody for the past month that Russell Wilson's trying to get us Seattle.
Right.
You know, and people, of course, so you're crazy. He doesn't really want that. It's,
I believed you.
Yeah, thank you. I know you believe me.
I did, always.
I know. And yeah, I knew that. Usually when I say things like that, I have like some inklings from people I trust that are leading me in that direction. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a shock. But I think Denver legitimately, hey, the first domino was Rodgers.
Right.
They wanted Rodgers. It didn't work. They had already reached out to Seattle. They're not stupid. They weren't just going, oh, we're only going to talk to Rodgers and we're not going to talk to anybody else in football. They had plan B in place. And yes, they had already gotten down the road a little bit with conversations with the Seahawks. Once they realized they don't get Rodgers, boom, you get Russell Wilson. freaking game changer. Game changer. And I think a blessing in disguise in a lot of ways that they didn't get Rodgers. And you know me, I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan.
Okay, because you and I both, we love the NBA.
Yeah.
And so now we're seeing these blockbuster trades with superstars. Yeah. And so we had Tom Brady going to Tampa. We have Stafford going to LA.
Yeah.
Win the last two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Is that the same situation we're looking at in Denver when you add Russell Wilson?
I think so. I think you're going to continue to see this. Mm-hmm. Because just like the NBA, these guys get – you know, pinned with like, oh, you're a loser just because the team doesn't. And I think the quarterbacks have gotten to that point where they're like,
it's not fair. That's not
fair. I got drafted here and we're not that good. And, you know, you can't do that to me. So that is, I think they're going to continue to make their own plays there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the only where the difference is you're seeing it, the NBA effect rippling over to the NFL. I just don't feel like the NFL players are quite as willing to be the bad guy yet like some of the NBA guys. Yeah. The NBA guys,
they're not
ready
to be Harden.
When
they
want to get out, they're like, screw you, I'm out of here. I don't care what you people say about me.
Right.
And I do respect that. Damn, my earpiece came out.
Oh, you're that nervous?
I'm good. No. What happened? Wait, but I do want to add more to that conversation.
Yes. And because I just want to know where you think then the Broncos stack up with Russell Wilson. But I do love this idea of like the NFL, NBA, there's a little bit of synergy here. And we're seeing the superstars moving around.
No doubt. I think between the NBA, the heat these quarterbacks take on social media.
Right.
And then you mentioned it with Brady and Stafford
it's
the last 2 years. People are like,
it seems to be
whoa.
The recipe. It's like, wait, okay, well, why don't we just do
and
that?
And the team's onus it too. So they're going to be ultra aggressive like the Denver is. They're looking at it going, screw it. I mean, does anybody, you know, I'll echo Ron Rivera last week of the combine. Does anybody even remember what the Rams traded for Matthew Stafford anymore? No one cares. They're just like, they got a Super Bowl. Who the fuck cares?
But I know what tequila Stafford was drinking at the party.
Yes,
like,
you
I know.
Do. Yeah, you do know that. 1942. But makes them an instant contender. And the reason I say I think it's a little bit of a blessing in disguise with Wilson over Rodgers is you have a real chance to build something with Wilson.
Yeah.
Rodgers, you could have been in – you win the Super Bowl this year, and he might have gone, I'm out of here.
Good.
And now you're going, oh, shit, we got to find another quarterback. Mm-hmm. Or 2 years from now, he might just go, I've had enough. So with Wilson, you have a chance really to kind of formulate a real culture with a team and a nucleus with some of the young receivers and guys they have, the new running back, Javonte Williams, and go, wait, we legitimately could have something here for the next 6 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I like the Russell Wilson thing, let alone he's going to fit the system and the style of play. And they got some weapons around him that are real.
Mm-hmm. Well, you brought up Aaron Rodgers, and obviously that was the news probably of the day.
Yeah.
But my question for you is, do you remember a time when it was like COVID draft and Jordan Love was being drafted to the Packers? And now flash forward to where we are, 4-year extension, Rodgers is staying, all the tumultuous, you know, reports that came out in between this time period. How did they end up here? Like, that's what I always go back to. Like, how did we get here?
I know. Well, there's a lot of, like, ups and downs and all over the place. And I hate you and I love you and I love you not. I mean, they were everywhere. I think where they got here last year did a lot in the fact that I think Rodgers realized, first off, he likes the players. He likes the coaching staff. Who knows what he thinks of Mark Murphy and Gutekunst. I doubt he loves them.
Mm-hmm.
But
Adams.
He doesn't have to deal with them on a daily basis. I think he also reads the room as far as the NFL and goes, hey, wait, yeah, Denver's good. I get that. But is it a guarantee? You know, there's more ifs there if he goes there than as compared to if I stay here at Green Bay. I know pretty much the team we're going to have. And, yeah, they're going to they franchise Davante Adams.
Right.
He's not leaving. So that's all good, let alone he doesn't have to have a huge life adjustment. You know, the one thing in Green Bay where, you know, I fault them to a degree a little bit, I like it and I fault them, is, yeah, they make their quarterbacks kings.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all the time, they went from Brett Favre, you're the king, do whatever you want. You know, oh, you might retire, you might play, it doesn't matter, you're the king, do whatever the hell you want, to now they gave Rodgers the throne, and it's the same type of thing. And Rodgers, as we know, I don't think it's the type of guy that's all for trying to go to a new place and try to, like, get everybody on his page and the way he likes things. So I think there was the comfort zone, let alone, I do think football-wise, it probably made the most sense for him to go back, even though I was kind of rooting for something different.
Of course, we all kind of were. But then we got it in other places.
Yeah.
But if you think about it now, you know, the Packers, same team, we know that Rodgers coming back, stability, that's there.
Yeah.
Where does it top out? Where do the Packers top out? Because I think we had such high expectations for him even this year, maybe making the Super Bowl.
Right.
That was an expectation, I feel
like. Yeah, it was an expectation. I know, you know, I was one to continue to say, like, you know, yes, they're – I never thought they were going to get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of said that all year. I picked the 49ers to beat them in that game on Saturday night, whatever. I just – they're, to me, a player or two away on each side of the ball. And what I mean, not just a player, like, need a real difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, we see in, like – any big game over the last 3 years, they lose to a team that's got more players than they do, period. I know it's the Packers. Their record might be better, and they're better during the regular season, but the playoffs are a different animal, and you can't just always rely on we're going to execute and we won't mess up, and that'll win us the game. That's really the way they played. Mm-hmm. And, no, that's cool. But, you know, when you get to teams like the Rams and the 49ers, they got guys that go, like, oh, wait, oh, the hell with the 10-play drive. We're just going to throw a slant to this guy, and he's going to run 60, and it'll be a 4-play drive. That's where the Packers miss, you know, that type of guy on offense and defense. So they'll be interesting, but they're still going
to
be really good.
So you're highlighting the problem.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll actually be active in free agency then to try and solve
no,
it?
No, not really. Okay, so no, they're not.
The same problem.
They have, yeah, it's the same problems. It's the still salary cap issues there that they're trying to finagle that. You know, they're going to be lucky if they can just keep the team together for the most part, which I think they'll come close, you know, and now – I know a lot of people are going, well, now you can trade Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And get assets for that, and you can continue to build the team. I wouldn't trade Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm on the Packers, maybe if I'm Jordan Love and I'm representing him, I'm going, yeah, maybe you need to be traded. But if I'm the Packers, I mean, it's the business of football. You're paying him nothing to be a backup quarterback. It's cheap as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, you have a good football team. So if Aaron Rodgers does get hurt next year, breaks a collarbone, whatever, pulls a calf muscle.
Yeah.
You don't fall off earth with your, like, oh, I don't even know who the hell our backup quarterback is. You got a guy that's got a little talent and that you trust and knows the system. To me, yeah, the Jordan Love, as bad as I feel for him and in the tough spot he's in, if I'm Green Bay, I'm not letting him go. No way.
Okay. So with all the news that broke on the 9th, biggest winner, you would say, from our big quarterback news?
Denver. I mean, Denver changes the outlook of their football team to where now we sit there and go, like, oh, they're a playoff team. Mm-hmm. They're a playoff team. You know, and their defense was already good. You know, they got to add a few pieces to their front seven. But receiver, really talented. Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, who's just, you know, he'll be another year removed from the ACL injury. KJ Hamler, who got hurt last year, he's a difference maker. We talked about the running back, the O-line. Yes, they're really good. And here's another one I got for you, too, just here for you, because this has become a thing over the last few days.
Yep.
Like with our guy Dan Orlovsky in ESPN, right?
Yep.
And I got a lot of respect for Dan. Yeah. Dan does good work. But, you know, he made a lot of waves of talking about, like, he'd take Russell Wilson over Justin Herbert, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one I can't get behind right now. Totality, career-wise, yes, Wilson's special. But the last 2 years, what I've seen from Justin Herbert, man, if you gave me a pick right now, I'm going to take Herbert. And it's weird to say Russell Wilson's the third-best quarterback in his own division. I mean, that's crazy to hear it coming out of your mouth.
But if Justin Herbert continues to ascend the way that we've seen him since he's been in the league, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, the potential's through the roof.
The potential's through the roof. And he's just starting.
Just starting.
Right where he is. Exactly what I mean. And he's had two offensive coordinators in 2 years and still played well. I think we've gotten to a point where we can almost expect wow out of Justin Herbert almost every week.
Yeah.
And that's special. And not to say Russell Wilson isn't special, but with the injury, the way they played last year, it wasn't his best. He is getting up there in age a little bit. Yeah, I would take Herbert right now.
You know what's so interesting about him, too? So covering him in college, remember, he wasn't really highly recruited at all. He was injured his junior year, came back, played his senior year, like barely got a scholarship to Oregon.
Yeah.
And then while he was there, I feel like he was constantly figuring out what kind of quarterback he wanted to be. It wasn't like he had a ton of experience.
No.
So we're still seeing a guy that's just young in the sport of football making his way.
100.
So I'm almost like I'm starting to see his personality a little bit. He's super shy, doesn't want to be in front of the camera, and he's learning how to be an NFL quarterback, but also like you can see it translating.
Yeah, no, he's becoming like the man.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right in front of our eyes, no doubt.
Yeah.
You're right. And Oregon, you're right. There was those issues. They weren't very good on offense. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of the reasons, again, that's why people, I think, misevaluate the draft sometimes.
Yeah.
They just look at, well, with the numbers and the win and loss. Mm-hmm. Oh, then it was the quarterback.
Yeah.
They won, and the numbers were good. The quarterback's got to be good. He's got to be a first-round pick. And I just went, no. I mean, if you really evaluated him, man, there was so much that was impressive. Mm-hmm. And really his faults that you would look at, I would go, well, that's really the team.
Mm-hmm.
You're blaming it on the quarterback, but nobody being open is not the quarterback's fault. I mean,
the best receiver was like 5'6".
Exactly. Or it was a very average offense as far as scheme and imagination, too, which didn't help him out. But as I always say, I mean, do you really think Justin Herbert wouldn't have been good if he was on Alabama and they wouldn't have still won the national championship or Georgia or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's when it hits home and people go, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of Georgia and evaluating
talent. Oh, of course.
Excuse me. Who was the best school at the combine.
It like, was Georgia.
If you just had to.
I know. I will give you Georgia
one.
For sure. I'll pinpoint okay. it. I will. I definitely will. I brought it up on the Monday show with Pro Football Talk with Fouria because it just – the defensive guys.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, both defensive tackles. But, I mean, Jordan Davis, the 341, him doing that, the linebackers. I mean, yes, as a total team effort, domination mm-hmm. in the draft. Back at the place – of domination for your national championship game, too. You know, that time you were at the game and you didn't answer my text that weekend. Remember?
Yeah,
because you were
I wasn't,
too cool?
Yeah, yeah, anyone who didn't graduate right. and or attend the University of Georgia, I wasn't responding to any of their
okay,
messages.
Okay,
like, it was
good,
about
good,
us. It's
good.
Also just the year of the dog in general. We got right. Stafford winning, the Braves won, Georgia. It's just kind of a whole thing. So if you want to move down there, I can find you an Airbnb.
I don't want to move down there.
If you want to be a winner, which you are, based on your you. Picks.
I am. I'm above 500. I'm a winner.
And that is not a winner.
Yeah, so are you.
It's not
okay.
a winner. Okay.
Damn.
Anyway, Twitter questions. I told
asshole.
You I was taking over the podcast, by the way.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat. Protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Okay, ask me anything. This yep. is obviously a thing that y'all do. I wouldn't know. I don't listen that
yeah,
often,
I know
but
you
it
don't.
Sounds
you
really
don't
cool.
To that at all.
Okay.
Cool.
The first tweet comes from a guy you may or may not know, James Kaminsky, aka The Jet.
The Jet.
AKA one of our researcher extraordinaires. Said, I read that Zach Wilson had an NFL high 12.7% of his passes dropped in 2021, according to PFF. Why don't people bring this up more? Corey Davis and Ty Johnson killed this man.
Well, yeah, it was definitely a thing throughout the year. You know, you go back and look at even some of the early season interceptions. You go, oh, that ball could have been caught, and it got intercepted, and we blame it on Zach Wilson. Hey, now, Zach Wilson wasn't perfect last year, and we know that. But we did have a lot of Sunday shows towards the end of the year where we were like, that was a good throw, mm-hmm. or holy shit, those were some good plays. That for sure. You know, so we'll see where it goes. But I think the Jets are continuing to go in the upward trajectory. And I look at Zach Wilson for our man Kaminsky, who we both know and is a psycho Jet
like
fan.
Psycho.
Like psycho. Like melts down when they're losing.
You would
to
hear
teams.
Him on the other side
You're
of the
like,
studio.
Wait, you knew you were going to lose today. Why are you shocked and sad? And like, you knew you weren't going to win. But, you know, the other thing, too, I think that goes into Zach Wilson is a little bit of like it's the little bit of what I would say the Josh Allen effect.
Mm-hmm.
There's a contingent of people that just are haters of Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
He wasn't – how dare we compare him to the great Trevor Lawrence from Clemson coming out. That's just crazy and disrespectful, and they just don't want to see the positives for Zach Wilson. And so, therefore, things like that with 12.7% of your passes being dropped mm-hmm. don't get brought up into the conversation, let alone – oh, wait, yeah, there was a number of weeks where there was no Corey Davis, no Jamison Crowder, mm-hmm. you know, no Elijah Moore at wide receiver, all those type of things. And, you know, again, it just wasn't cool to defend him that way.
Yeah.
So I think that's why sometimes it kind of gets swept under the rug with him a little bit.
Okay, so yeah. Kaminsky, you're fine. Yeah. Everything's okay.
Definitely okay.
Like, take
there.
A break. Yeah,
right.
Deep breath. We're okay with that.
He made us say wow a few times.
He
a
did.
Lot during the end of the
he
year.
Did.
And to me, that's all it is about a rookie.
And honestly, the Jets, they were like kind of confident.
Kind of making us say
you know,
wow.
Like making
like,
plays.
Wow,
like,
you're kind of whooping the crap out of the Buccaneers
you know
right
saying?
Now. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
You did bring up Trevor Lawrence. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Are we just acting like his first season didn't happen?
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Or like what is our assessment of him in year one?
Like a horrible situation okay. to be stuck in, right?
Yeah.
Urban Meyer, that debacle. Not great offensive minds around him to help him out that way. You know, no running game, right? DJ Shark gets hurt. You know, there was a lot of things that went against him, mm-hmm. certainly. Let alone, this was, you know, one of the things I was trying to say about Trevor Lawrence mm-hmm. coming out. You know, and I know everybody was trying to paint him as like the greatest thing to ever come out in the history of football. And again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. He's awesome, mm-hmm. franchise quarterback. But he was more raw than people wanted to recognize mm-hmm. coming out of Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, the rawness got swept under the rug a little bit because we were just like, oh, they won. Who mm-hmm. cares? Or I know he missed those three throws, but the next throw he had a touchdown. And I'm going to be like, yeah, but they're not going to always be open every time in the NFL.
Right.
You can't miss those other two or three throws. But I think, like I'll say with Zach, I saw enough
okay.
of where I went, wow. But there is things in his mechanical delivery of throwing the football that need to be fixed. That's the one thing. He can do it. He's a natural. I know that. But there's too many games throughout the year where I just go, damn, you're too good to miss that 10-yard out route three times in this mm-hmm. game. Mm-hmm. And that's what he needs to fix.
Okay, I was just curious since we brought him up.
Good
we hadn't
question.
Talked about that in a while.
Yeah.
Okay, this comes from Steelers Outpost. Simsy, is that your nickname?
I guess it actually, most people that I've played with in football call me Simsy.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know this guy, I don't think.
You
but
probably do.
He's part of the family now.
What do you truly think the benefit is of the Steelers rolling with a mediocre QB like Trubisky, Mariota, or Jimmy G? Sure, they're better than Rudolph, but none of them are winning Super Bowls. Do you think there's just a cultural benefit to winning two or three more games?
There is.
Okay.
You know, there's a cultural benefit, certainly, you know, two or three more games. An organization like Pittsburgh, where they just go, we don't always care if we have, like, the best quarterback in football. We can run and play Steeler defense and do it that way, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they won their first Super Bowl with Big Ben that way. He wasn't, like, you know, blowing the league up with 400-yard passing games. I mean, he had the worst quarterback rating in the history of the Super Bowl to win a game. And they won it because of the running game and the defense. So, you know, I think they look at it that way. You know, I think they're in a weird spot because – they have some talent on the team for real.
Mm-hmm.
The receivers are real. They got a good young tight end. The offensive line's a work in progress. We know they got Najee Harris at tailback.
Yep.
You know, Minkah Fitzpatrick on the defensive side of the ball. They got some pieces there. But I think with Mason Rudolph, you know, I just look at it and go, no, you're in danger of, like, not being good, period. It just, to me, we know what Mason Rudolph is. He's just a solid backup in the NFL. Not a starting quarterback. And, yeah, guys like Trubisky and Mariota and Jimmy G, I certainly would take, you know, over Mason Rudolph. Steelers are also one of those teams, you know, that you look at, drafted in the 20s, right? They got to the playoffs where, you know, they could be in the draft a quarterback situation there and mm-hmm. then just go, hell, we're going to play them and we're going to groom them and we'll run the ball and play defense and won't put a lot of pressure on them. I could certainly see them going that route too.
If there was a team that could groom a quarterback, I would think it would be the Steelers.
Yeah.
And the pressure you would be on would be a little minimal. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You're right. It's going to be a pressure situation.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. But mm-hmm. Tomlin, the way he is, they'll play the right way and protect
exactly.
a young quarterback
exactly.
for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of young quarterbacks, we used to always talk about it on Sunday. We had the Zach and the Mac attack. So let's go to the Patriots a little bit.
Yeah.
Inma Perez 09 says, what's the next step with the New England offense? It stalled hard in the last part of the year. How can Mac evolve without McDaniels?
Yeah, it's going to be a big question. I mean, of course, McDaniels is special, mm-hmm. period. I mean, he is. He's one of the best offensive minds in football over the last 15 years. You know, but I do think the offense will evolve. You know, Mac Jones, another year, you know, they'll be able to throw more at him. They'll open up the offense more. You know, they'll work on some of the things like physically. Yeah, could he throw the ball down the field with a little more power and mm-hmm. be better that way? Yes. Does he have the capability to do that? Yes, he does. He's got to fix some of that. But I think the biggest thing that I look at is, like, listen, the system's not going to change.
Right.
It's a New England system. You know, again, that's where people don't realize. Like, Josh McDaniels is the man. He took the system to a whole new level. But really, the system developed, as I've told people before, Josh McDaniels learned from Charlie Weiss. But then also where it went to another level is when Belichick started to get involved too and started going, hey, wait, when teams do this to me, when I'm playing this defense, I don't like it. And that's really where they started to build the offense. And McDaniel started, well, Bill doesn't like when teams do this. I'll start to do this to teams because they don't have Bill either. So that's really where it came from. They got to get more explosive at receiver, period.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. It's hard to be a great offense when there's no one that really scares you on the outside to take people off your running game or some of your great short passing concepts. I look at it as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Some down the field threats change their football team and will open up, you know, the Aguilars and the Kendrick Bournes of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was interesting to watch because in the beginning of the season, we were like, okay, Mac, like, we see what you got going.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it was consistent.
Right.
It was
consistent.
Completions, you know, that
right.
was it.
Exactly.
And then you're right. There was a point in the season that it just
hit a lull. Their team hit a lull. They kind of got cold as well. The defense didn't play as well. They started to bleed a little bit. And I think what you saw, too, was, you know, a little bit like we just talked mm-hmm. about a few minutes ago. It's just, it's too hard to always go 12 plays, 80 yards, and we're going to do that week after week, drive after drive, late in the season. Right. At some point, you need, like, wait, I need a Deebo Samuel to take 50 yards off down the sideline or something of that nature. And that, to me, is what they miss on that team.
Okay, you bring up Deebo. Let's talk about Trey Lance. Let's see. Burn Unit. I love that.
What up,
that
Burn Unit?
That is a great name. What are your thoughts on is he or is he not ready to talk about Trey Lance?
Well, like, I'm ready. Like, Trey Lance, you know, I expect him to be the starting quarterback of the 49ers unless one thing happens.
What?
Tom Brady goes there.
Okay.
That'll be the only thing. And again, I know everybody thinks I always know everything with the 49ers because I'm friends with Kyle Shanahan. I can promise you I don't know jack diddly shit about this, all right? What I do know...
on record.
On record, all right? What I do know, as I said on PFT, like, first off, Brady won't close the door. Mm-hmm. He just won't. So there's something there.
He shouldn't.
Yeah, right? That's fine.
Yeah.
I also, last week, I told a lot of... him to Miami was a real thing. It was definitely being discussed. Sean Payton going to Miami as well with it as a package deal and all that was a real thing. Mm-hmm. So obviously the door's not closed, let alone he keeps making comments that keep the door cracked open. Then Kyle Shanahan doesn't go to the combine last week. Right. And guess who was out in San Francisco visiting family? Tom Brady.
Tom Brady?
Right.
Yeah.
And Brian Greasy's hired as the quarterback's coach there.
What third cousin is out there?
Right, right. Right. Where's the Brady family tree? Brian Greasy, who played quarterback with Brady at Michigan, him being there now. I don't know. I just find it fishy. Mm-hmm. I do. But I do think, you know, other than that, Trey Lance will be the guy. Hey, he had some good moments this year. We saw that.
Yep.
You know, yes, he's a little raw still, definitely. But they have a good football team, and Shanahan's, if not the best, one of the best game planners, and he'll know how to protect and play to Trey Lance's strengths, and they'll do it the right way. So whether he's the starter or Brady, I still look at the 49ers and go, they're the real deal, Holyfield, and they're going to be one of the best teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
Exactly. They still got George Kittle. They still got one of the best offensive lines in football. Mm-hmm. They still got an unbelievable dominant front seven, you know, but they're going to have to pay Deebo, I think, this year. And they got some other things on their roster that they got to figure out, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, we like to say that our pregame is kind of like the 49ers because we had a boombox at Super Bowl. And we kind of warmed up and got ready for the big show.
I got ready for it.
And that's why you were superb.
I was. I will say that. We were on our game. We didn't screw that day up.
We didn't screw it up.
We didn't, yes. Let me do a little, actually, this is where I was going to go. You teed it off in my brain. That was unlike any other pregame I had for a game this year. I felt like I was back in an NFL locker room, except I was with Maria and her four girlfriends, right?
Which was actually classic. You being the only guy around five girls the
five
entire
girls,
Super Bowl.
The whole Super Bowl.
It was classic.
It was like me and my entourage, right?
And we're like playing Beyonce.
And then you're playing the music, right? Which was cool and took my mind off things. But the other thing I always tell people, because I like to tell stories, you're probably the number one question I get. Other than about quarterbacks, everybody asks me about you.
Quarterbacks is Aaron Rodgers.
Quarterbacks, I love your list. And then it's like, hey, that Maria Taylor. You guys are good together.
Yep.
Hey, how tall is she really?
Taller than you.
Oh, she's pretty, huh? She's tall. She's pretty. You're lucky you get to wear next to her. That's all I get all day long.
Love
right?
it. Love
and then
for you.
What I really love telling people is, like, even the pregame, all right, and we're on the field in the Super Bowl. Men's reaction to Maria is amazing. One, there's the man that's like, whoa, you're really big, and I'm a little insecure about my manhood, you're bigger than me.
See
how dare
all.
That? And they stand up tall. They're nice to meet you, Maria. And they do that. Or there's the one that's in total infatuation, where they would – I had a few people come over to me in the pregame of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They didn't really want to say hi to me. They were literally shaking my hand, looking at Maria, going, yeah, thanks, Chris. Yeah, great. Hey, this is Maria. No shit. They were there just to look at you. They were gawking at you.
Honestly, working with you makes me more viable because they're like, oh, it's just Chris. You know
yeah.
But if
Thank
I was
you.
A like, coach or right. somebody else, like they would actually want to talk to Tony Dungy, but I'm with Chris.
You're
so,
with Chris.
You know,
they
so
don't
they
want
to
talk to
me.
They're like, damn, I talk to Chris and hear him too much. So
yeah,
I don't need
it's
to hear
all
that.
Good. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So,
yes.
But anyway, that was one of our little fun stories. We
it
have a lot of those.
Was.
Okay, well, last one I want to get to.
Yeah.
How about – well, do you care? Justin Fields, rookie QBs? Do you have something that's –
well, Justin Fields. Wait, we got a question here on Justin Fields. I just saw it. It's from – who was it? At Omega?
Yep. Joel Tion.
Yep.
If Justin Fields was in this year's QB draft class, where would you rank him? Have your thoughts on Justin Fields changed after his rookie season?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. They definitely have changed. Again, I know I was lower than most on Justin Fields. I'll never be the guy that's just going to go, this is where I had him, and I'm never going to fucking move him because I said that 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. No. Justin Fields, he crapped on some of the things that I said last year. Certainly. Mm-hmm. He was better. He controlled the football better, throwing it. You know, has all the intangibles. That I never really doubted. I didn't. I heard enough through the draft process about what the guy was and everything that way.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I did question a little bit, just like playing in the pocket, going through reads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was too many plays at Ohio State where I went, damn, that should just be an easy slam dunk completion. And, you know, it was the receiver couldn't even get a hand on it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see very many throws like that the whole year.
Yeah.
He was really on point. His motion, very smooth. And as far as, you know, again, I've just started on the quarterback stuff here. As far as if you put him in this year's class, he's the number one quarterback in this class.
Mm-hmm.
He is. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And again, I'd like to clarify too. Last year was tough ranking them.
Yeah.
They were all really good. They were all really
great
good.
Class.
It was a good class. But yeah, I'm excited for Justin Fields' future.
I am too.
Yeah.
He's a good kid too.
Like, I am
actually,
sure.
Yeah.
And he's got Georgia connections, so we know you love that.
Yeah. His sister plays softball at Georgia, so obviously.
And he seems like he's got a little chip on his shoulder, honestly, now that because he feels like he got slighted in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, should I want to go, yes, that's cool to have the chip. Don't be too chippy, though. Yeah. You still got drafted in the top 20.
Yeah. The story I always think about when I think about Justin Fields is when he played terrible in the Big Ten Championship his last year.
Right.
And then came back in the Sugar Bowl and was
laying up Clemson. Right. He had Northwestern bad Big 12 Big 10 championship,
right.
And then the Clemson game was amazing.
And I remember Ryan Day telling me, he was like, he was stewing on that. Like, he's a perfectionist at heart, and he does want to prove doubters wrong, and he hears noise. You know what I mean?
It seems like that's
something that I can't wait to see an offseason of Justin Fields after he's been in the NFL and what that looks like.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay, another Bears question.
Yeah.
As a Chicago Bears fan, I'm interested in picking up a wide receiver like Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf. Do you think that's smart, or would you rather pick up a low-cost free agent and draft a young wide receiver?
You don't need to do that. You're a team that's a little bit of a transition process. Let's not trade away like a bunch of assets, you know, to get Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf. Let's not do that. I mean, hey, Khalil Mack, they did that already, you know, as far as trading away a whole bunch of, you know, assets for Khalil Mack. And I think there's a portion of the Bears fan base would go, I don't know if it was really worth it. He's been good for us, but I don't know if he's been that many picks good for us and as much money as we played for him. You know, one, they have good tight end in Cole Kmet. They have Darnell Mooney, who I think is like a number one / really awesome number two speedster. But I would say, you don't need to trade and send, you know, a first round pick and then some for DK Metcalf or a Tyler Lockett. There is going to be some value signings out there, I think, at the wide receiver position. You know, I look at guys like Christian Kirk from Arizona, you know, where you might not have to pay him, you know, you're not going to have to pay him $18, $20 million a year. You're going to have to pay him probably double-digit millions. But there's guys like that, DJ Chark Jr., that's going to be available from Jacksonville, who's got some star potential. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be out there. You know, Michael Gallup coming off an ACL injury. You could probably get him for a good number. And I think there's going to be options out there where you go, you don't need to have like the superstar or the superstar of the class here. You can have a lot of good and still put together a really good offense there in Chicago.
What are your thoughts on Juju? Do you think he'll come back and be able to be an impact player next season?
I do. Okay. I look at Juju. I've never looked at Juju as a superstar.
Okay.
Juju to me is like a high number, like a number two receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He's great when, like, his best year ever was when he was second fiddle to Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
And then he had a great year. You know, he's not the kind of guy that can, like, just run by you for 80-yard touchdowns, but got great size, tough as hell, can work the middle of the field, runs routes, blocks in the running game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's your perfect guy to be your complement to the guy.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, again, Juju's probably going to be disappointed with what he finds money-wise out there in the market, but he'll find a niche in a right spot. They're a team that knows how to use.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Okay, another interesting topic we have on here, Kenny Pickett's hands.
Yeah.
With the narrative of Pickett's hand size being a thing, doesn't that really matter? Doesn't that really matter? Does that make a QB better or worse? You tell me.
Yeah. No, it does matter. It does matter to a degree.
Okay.
You know, it does. You know, again, there's a reason guys like Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre and Tom Brady were drafted up in New England, and we never have to worry, you know, New England or Green Bay, and never have to worry about, wait, it's snowing, it's raining. Wait, they're still throwing lasers through it. Mm-hmm. We don't even worry about the weather. We don't even care. Oh, it's snowing in New England. And nobody we still expect Brady to throw for 350. And, like, so big hands help with that.
Yep.
Of course, it's a smaller object in your hand when you have a gigantic hand, right? So that just basic logic helps you out. I will say, with the new current crop of quarterbacks, and I should have brought a football in here because I've explained this a little bit. There's more variations in the way people grab the football now than ever before. You know, like the way Lamar Jackson grips the football, the way Kyler Murray grips the football, you know, even the way Patrick Mahomes grips the football. When I was growing up, nobody gripped the football like that, where they moved their hand up to the smaller part of the ball, right? And to where, yeah, they might not have as many fingers on the laces and the big fat part of the ball, but because their hands are a little bit smaller, now they're grabbing the smaller part of the ball to where they can control it and they don't have issues. Mahomes plays in Kansas City. He doesn't have gigantic hands. He's throwing that damn thing through any weather possible.
Right.
So that's not an issue. These are significantly small hands, all right?
Okay.
This is the smallest in football, one of the smallest we've ever seen from like a draftable quarterback. The difference is he wears a glove. And he's been wearing a glove for a long time. So the glove does help you grip the football. You know, I like, you know, again, early stages. Pickett knows how to play quarterback. He's a good athlete. He has a good arm. There's no wow factor. I don't go, oh, wow, he's got a laser. Watch out for this in the NFL. Or he's such a great athlete. In the NFL, it's even going to be better. I don't see that. But I see a guy that can do everything, and there's no glaring weakness. But – you know, I'm not a fan of the glove. I'm not.
Why?
Anybody that throws with the glove can't naturally just throw it. I just can't. I mean, again, that's where I get into.
You sound very get off my stoop right now.
I know I do.
That's a little harsh.
Yeah. I get you. I get you. But I would also sit there and go, man, you name the great quarterbacks of all time. Other than Kurt Warner, nobody wore a glove. And he wore the glove because he had an injury to his thumb. So I'm not holding it against him. But I do have my concerns about it. And the size of the hands, I guess, is a little less of a concern than normal. Because he has been wearing this glove and gripping the football won't be an issue.
And you talked
to
him and he was like, not a problem.
He was not. He said it, not a problem. And I told him honestly, I was like, I don't love that you wear a glove, but I'm going to judge you objectively. I'm not going to like hold that against you, right? But yeah, we'll see. There's a lot to like about Kenny Pickett. He's certainly a first round quarterback, but like I said, he doesn't wow me.
Meanwhile, whose hand's bigger?
Mine.
Yeah. It's close.
But you have big hands. Yeah. I mean, I would have expected you to.
I would be a pretty good QB.
Yeah, you definitely would be.
Definitely. Missed my calling.
Don't play receiver. You'll break a nail. But
for
quarterback, you could do that. Right.
Yes. Okay, you have a couple of funny questions on here.
Yes.
Hot soup or cold soup from SI _ Viz.
Like, who the fuck drinks cold soup? Who eats cold soup? Really? Would you eat cold soup?
I don't even know what cold soup is. Is that a thing? Do y'all eat that?
It is a cold soup. Yeah, I don't know. Is it a white person thing? Is that what you're saying? I don't know. It might be.
I mean, it sounds like salad to me. I don't know what that
is. I don't know. There is cold soups out there, and I can't even what is it?
Gazpacho.
Gazpacho. Right. Yeah, yes. I see, those are... I know. So, no, I'm definitely a hot soup. I'm a soup
classy person.
Yeah,
I love soup, too.
I mean, like,
I do love
almost
soup.
A soup every day.
Yeah.
I love it.
Doesn't matter, summer.
No,
I
I'm with you.
Uh-huh.
I am. You give me a good chicken and rice, you know, chicken noodle, chicken rice type of soup.
Chilies, too.
Yeah.
All
oh,
that.
What? I can
I'm
do that all day
in.
Long. All day. Cold soup, negative Ghost Rider. Ew, cold soup.
I'm not going to ask you about weed.
You're not going to ask me about weed?
No.
Why? Why not? When are you going to smoke with me?
Never.
Never?
I would never wake up again.
Well, hopefully. Yeah. I tried to put you to sleep for a while.
Just lay down.
Go ahead. Lay down. Nice seeing you, Maria. Yeah, I mean, that's part of me. It's part of the podcast. I don't hide from that. You know that. So, yes, I am a – and I think what was our question? Indica or sativa? Is that what they were asking me about?
Yep.
I'm sativa. My friends call me Sativa Sims.
Right? Simsy.
Okay, they call me Sativa.
Sativa Simsy.
Right? Yes.
Okay.
I like sativa. It's a little bit, you know, not doesn't melt you into the couch, jumbles your brain up a little bit. Okay, but that's usually where I go. I'll get you some.
Does it help you evaluate quarterbacks?
Oh, No.
Do like arm motions come into your head when you're melting into the sofa and you're like, oh, you know, I didn't think about that before.
Well, yes, that for sure. I don't like I'm a very end of the day smoker, mm-hmm. end of the week, yep. right? And people always ask me, do you smoke in the morning or in the middle of the day? Do you smoke before you watch film? No, I couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I might be good with like the first guy I evaluated if I smoked weed and go. But after that, I'd be like, huh? Wait, who did I just watch? Shit, I don't even – I just watched 30 plays. I don't even know what the fuck happened. Wait, let me go back and watch them again. So I am not that guy for sure.
Uh-huh.
But to your question, I am – when I do smoke, I tell people all the time, the first 45 minutes I'm as smart as I can possibly be.
Right.
And I do some of the best self-evaluating
mm-hmm.
of things that are either on my mind or I didn't think about this and now for whatever mm-hmm. reason I'm high, it comes to the forefront of your brain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, why did that bother me earlier today? I figured my problems mm-hmm. out, I guess is what I'm saying.
So I think the next time you yeah. smoke and that happens, can right. you please send me like a nonstop text, like live messaging all of the brilliant things that are happening in your head?
I
and,
sure.
And like all the things that you've corrected
sure.
about
Producer
your life.
Sure, producer Matt Casey's probably been he's probably had a few of those. You're okay. like, whoa, he didn't text me all day.
He literally just said
and now
that.
He's going off with all these great thoughts. And I would okay. be like, yeah, it's Friday night. I'm
it's
smoking.
Friday
yeah.
night. I'm
yeah.
chilling.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I'm going to get you over. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. We're no,
do
I
that.
Want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll get you some Puff give.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Give and go.
I'm going to sneak a gummy into
That's
your...
what's going to happen. I'm going to be like, I thought I was eating salad.
All right. So you're not going to smoke weed, uh-huh. but you want better say a fucking 4-letter word before you get out of here. Okay.
Shit.
Oh.
Oh, God.
I heard it. You heard it there. There's yeah. Maria Taylor. See,
you
she's not as
there.
Professional as you thought she was. See?
But I am an angel.
You are an angel. Okay, sure.
Also, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I really did. I appreciate it. At least you said it. Yes. What else? You want to ask me anything else?
No.
Go anywhere
I'm
else?
Over you.
You're done?
Yeah. I think I'm going to go get something to eat. It was great being on the Unbuttoned podcast.
Matt wants you to ask me the music one, he's saying.
Oh, which? Wait. What's
film
the music
watching
one?
At Corey Joskowitz. How do you start your film watching process by conference alphabetically?
Okay.
And then he goes, favorite? Oh, at Dap Me Up Bro asked me favorite music to listen to while watching film.
Okay.
See, that
I didn't
goes,
know you listen to music.
No, you don't know I listen to music? Well, what do
well,
you think
Well, while
I am?
You're doing film.
I don't.
I just can't imagine you doing two yeah. things at once.
No.
I just knowing him personally.
Yes. You're right.
Yeah.
That's where I was going to go.
He can barely tie his tie while watching the game, so.
It's very true.
Okay.
I am an all-focus mm-hmm. on one thing guy. I cannot listen to music and study film at the same time.
Okay.
I can't. I don't know. I might start singing the song
yep.
and thinking about the song and all of a sudden go, wait, I just missed 10 plays. Mm-hmm. I've never been that type of guy. So
I really know you.
I need total quiet.
I know you do.
Yeah. That's just the way I work.
I know.
Yeah. Especially when it comes time to get serious.
Well,
yeah.
One track mind.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Are you referring to me being blonde and from New Jersey?
Yeah,
you are.
A lot.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. Fine. You went to Georgia. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It's natural.
All right. So that's it. We did it. Are you happy with
First
yourself?
First podcast? I am.
All right, good.
But I'm more happy that you finally invited me.
Shut up.
I'm really just proud of you for like, you know, opening the gates and being like,
you
oh,
tried
okay.
to get out of this damn thing for a week
so
straight. I got the dentist. The dog ate my homework.
I did.
She tried to get away with everything without hosting this show, everybody, okay? Just so you know,
I did have a dentist.
She even like we were 30
they
minutes late
Novocaine.
Taping this damn thing because she was voicing over the Constitution. She was like, anything but the podcast.
Yeah,
I'll
we
voice
the people,
over what
of the United States. Anything but Chris.
But thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. This
appreciate
is fun.
It.
We should do it again.
No, you're gonna
like
now.
Once a year.
Yeah, once a year. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Once a year, we'll have Maria Taylor on.
It's like Christmas.
But going forward, mm-hmm. all seriousness, next week we got, or it's 2 weeks. 2 Mondays from now, I'm going to start my draft rankings, quarterbacks. We're going to get into all that. And then really every week we'll break down position by position. Next week, of course, is free agency. So we're going to hit on all of that. And there's a lot of things to talk about within free agency, what some of these teams should do. There's some interesting position groups that we didn't even get to here today that, of course, you know, are going to be able to help some teams out. So we'll see where it goes. Be good. Are you staying here in town for long? Are you back to Georgia?
No, I'm going to New York.
You're going to New York?
Yeah. But we're going to come back. And remember, we're having a double date.
You're going to have a double date.
Yep.
All right. So we might
great.
Do that. Danielle, mm-hmm. my wife, your husband.
John.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're all going to do something. And hang out for a little bit.
He'll
and
report
I'll
it to you on the next
gummies
podcast.
To her breakfast or lunch, and she won't know what hit her.
We'll keep you posted.
We'll keep you posted. Everybody be good. Keep sending in questions. But get specific about podcasts, I mean, about free agency stuff. We'd love to dive deep into that. I've spent a number of days here the last 4 or 5 days watching some free agent players where I just went, wait, I know this guy, but I really haven't studied him a while. Let me do that. So certainly have some interesting thoughts there. Be good, everybody there. Be good, everybody there or out there.
Out there.
Stay safe. All right. It's Thursday. It means it's my Friday. It's smoky, smoky, drinky, drinky time. Maria Taylor, thanks. Peace out.
Peace.
Be good.
Wait,
boom. I like it. Peace. We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.
This is great, actually. That's it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.